Hi, this is Farah Hürtöse, and right now I am at MUFON 2008 Symposium, San Jose, California. Right now, my guest is Ruben Uriarte. Hola, Ruben.
Hello, ¿cómo estás, Farah?
Muy bien, gracias. Ruben, it has been very active in the last 3-4 days. Please tell us about what have you been doing in order to organize this amazing event.
Well, God, it's tell you the truth, it all started last year. My assistant director, Lester Velez, and then myself, and we've had several other people who've helped form a committee. We've been planning this symposium, and our goal was to have it with the theme of UFOs and international UFO phenomena. And I believe we got some great representation. Obviously, it's a worldwide phenomena, and we wanted to show that because previously, in the past, many times the U.S. Community only hears or focuses a lot here on sightings here in the United States, where it's a global phenomena.
Yes, it is an international phenomenon, and in the last 3 days, we had many different speakers from Europe, from other parts of the world, South America, Latin America, and I'm from Turkey. By the way, I know that you have been very busy. You published 2 books in the last 2 years?
Yes, both my co-author, Noet Torres, and myself, we've been working together very, very, very hard, and we produced 2 books. One, our first book was Mexico's Roswell, the Chihuahua UFO crash, about an object that crashed into, or there was an accident or a crash between a UFO and a small airplane, which resulted in a rescue or retrieval efforts from the Mexican military, which basically led to the deaths of Mexican soldiers and during the retrieval. In our other book, which I'm also really, really excited about, Noet Torres was, and I had worked very extensively on this, is the book The Other Roswell, and that was the Other Roswell UFO crash along the Texas-Mexico border, and that's about a colonel who at that time was not back in 1955, was flying in a military fighter jet, and they were flying escort over a group of bombers when an object flew right over their formation and it crashed, and they observed it fly closer to the Mexican side of the border, and he saw it crash along the Rio Grande River, along the close to Del Rio, approximately. And so what he did was he flew over the wreckage and saw it, and then he flew back and was able to get a small airplane trainer, one of these small propeller airplanes, and landed, flew back to the crash site. When he landed, it was already surrounded by a perimeter of Mexican soldiers, and they were there waiting someone from the United States Air Force to arrive. So what makes this really unique, Vada, is that the fact that he had actually picked up some of the wreckage and he put it in his pocket.
And what happened to
him? Well, this story gets really interesting. His background, he had a lot of metallurgy background. He knew about metals and tried to cut it and did a lot of welding and everything, and it wouldn't be affected. So he knew he was dealing with a very unique metal. Word got out that he had it. He actually took it to a laboratory, to a military laboratory, to have it analyzed, and then it came up missing. It came up missing because he got a call that the lab was being moved, and later he did get a letter from someone. They didn't write the name, but they said, "We tried everything on this metal, and we just do not know what it is."
Did they take any pictures of the pieces?
He drew it. And we have that in his drawings are in our
book.
In our book. What's interesting was this happened back in, there was a Japanese documentary back in 1978. And what makes this quite interesting was this case was, he was being interviewed. There was another investigator involved, Todd Zekiel. And he's no longer around. He passed away. But This is based on a case with, apparently it was reported to NICAP, and at that time before MUFON, and he picked up the, he just read the report that based on a newspaper article. I'm going to have to retract because there's a couple of things I left out.
I'm sure.
He was told, his commanding generals, the military told him not to say anything about the wreckage, you know, or there would be severe consequences, and that was his briefing. 10 years later, when he went to, he was in Pennsylvania, he actually talked about the crash among a reporter that was doing a small newspaper on the Civil Air Patrol. Well, that someone had picked that up and sent it to NICAP, and that was back in 67. And then in 1977, Todd Sickell was the investigator. He ran across the report and got in contact with Colonel Willingham. What makes this interesting, Fada, is the fact that the Roswell, we knew nothing about the real Roswell crash until 1979. Well, this was going on at the same time, and what they believe was that this crash was based on reports from the MJ-12 documents, because it talked about Roswell and it talked about a case in Mexico. But in our interview with the colonel, we found out that this was a different time frame. It happened in 1955, and in all the research, we're finding out there are a number of other UFO crashes along the Texas-Mexico border.
It's amazing. In fact, you know what? I think in Mexico and in Central America, South America, there are many important cases, but it takes time to find out, to find the witnesses, to have contacts. So how long did it take for you to investigate only this case?
Well, we've been at it for at least two years, because when we were doing Mexico's Roswell, we came across this other information about this other case, actually three crashes, and we began doing a lot of research. And to our amazement, we found out that, thanks to Bruce McAbee, we found out that the gentleman was still alive, and we were able to contact him. And he said, "Look, I'm 82 years old. What can they do to me?" He says, "I'm ready to talk." And so we spent endless hours on the phone, and we actually flew down twice to meet with him in person. So it's an autobiography of him. He's an amazing man. Willingham was in World War II. And he was with the 82nd Airborne when they invaded the Normandy invasion, and they went into Germany. And he served as a provost marshal in Munich back during the post-war. He later he always was interested in being a pilot, and he was taking flying lessons when he was a young man. Later he transitioned into the Air Force, and he flew fighters. Fighter escorts in Korea, and then he got injured, and then he was sent to Japan, Tokyo General, they call it, and then they sent him back to the States for rehabilitation. Later, he got back into the reserves and flew fighter jets. So he's an amazing guy.
Well, I cannot wait to read this book. By the way, one more time, can I get the exact title of the book and how we can get it from?
Yes, right now. It's called The Other Roswell, a UFO Crash Along the Texas-Mexico Border, and you can go online and order it on Amazon.com and also on our website, which is roswellbooks.com.
Ruben, I wish you all the best, all the good luck with this book and with your future books. I'm sure you are already getting ready for the new books.
Actually, you're right, Fada. We have a third one on the way, and really appreciate the great presentation you gave here at our symposium, sharing with us the UFO phenomena of Turkey, and we hope to have you back.
As I told you, I felt at home with my family over this MUFON weekend.
Oh, yes, and it's interesting when you talk about different cultures and the connections, and I was just amazed that the Mayan and the Turkish connection there, it goes back thousands of years. Yeah. So I hope to go to Turkey someday, too.
Yes. Thank you very much for everything, for this interview, and I wish you the best with your books.
Thank you very much, Farah.